Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. We welcome our listeners of Sirius FM in Markaz Sahaba, the voice of Ahlu Sunnah wal Jama'ah, to this program, Al-Fiqhu ala al-Madahib al-Arba'a, Jurisprudence according to the four schools of thought. The date today is the 10th of Jumad al-Ukhra, 1443, corresponding to the date 13th January 2022. Today our focus is on inheritance, and this will be inheritance part one. We have our Honorable Mufti Saab here. Mufti Saab, Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Wa alaykumus salam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Barakallahu fikum on Zaid Khan. We welcome all the listeners of Sirius FM and Markaz Sahaba, the voice of Ahlu Sunnah wal Jama'ah, to the series. Today will be inheritance part one, inshallah. We'll continue from today, every Thursday, inshallah, right up to Ramadan with the series. So everyone should know what our responsibilities and duties are. May Almighty Allah Jalla Wala grant us tawfiq.
Ameen. Mufti Saab, the first question is, what is the Islamic law of inheritance?
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Nahmaduhu wa nuswalli ala Rasulihi al-Kareem. Amma ba'd. All praise is due to Almighty Allah, the sustainer, nourisher and cherisher of the universe. Peace, blessings and salutations be upon our beloved master and leader, Nabi Muhammad Mustafa sallallahu alaihi wasallam. You see, an easy example will be, today is the 10th of Jumad al-Ukhra, 1443. Whether we in Makkah Mukarrama, Madinah Munawwara, Masjid al-Aqsa, South Africa, 95% of the world. So when we juxtapose and compare our calendar with other people's calendar, Gregorian calendar, Chinese calendar, Russian calendar, Coptic calendar, you will find that all these calendars are man-made. But our Islamic calendar is divine. It came from Almighty Allah Jalla Wala, Surah 9, Surah Toba, Chapter 9, Surah Toba, verse 36. Inna iddat ash-shuhur indallahi 12 shahra fi kitabillahi yawma khalaqa as-samawati wal ard minha arba'atun hurum. So the 4 months are sacred and 12 months were designated by Almighty Allah. So similarly, to understand Islamic law, we must remember the Islamic law of succession, the Islamic law of inheritance, call it whatever you want to, is something divine. Almighty Allah Jalla Wala has stipulated, mentioned it in the Noble Quran, and therefore that surah chapter is called Suratul Nisa. Because the women from time immemorial, they were treated badly by the men, they were treated badly, unjustly by the authorities, and we will see in most cases, so much so you see in South Africa, if you know South African law, and if you look at what happened during apartheid and so forth, a lady who is married, who had children, but sometimes she was considered to be a minor child, and so forth, depending which matrimonial regime she was married in and so forth. So all this Islam came to abolish, and Islam taught us the laws of inheritance in Surah 4, chapter number 4, verses 7 to 14. So imagine in 7 verses, you will find 80-90% of the laws of inheritance. So that is the miracle of Islam. Why? Because you must remember it is directly from Almighty Allah, and it is for all times, all places, all circumstances, and therefore no amendments, no changes, nothing are allowed. Because once you allow amendments, it means there was a weakness, there was a fault, there was a defect in the system. So Almighty Allah is Subhanallah. He transcends every weakness, every shortcoming, and every flaw, F-L-A-W. So that is Almighty Allah Jalla Wala. So if you look at at the asbab of irth, if you look at the asbab of miras, the means, in this day and this age, it will be two only. And one will be that family relationship and so forth. Father, mother passes away, son will inherit, daughter will inherit. So that's one. Second one will be that the marriage. So husband passes away, wife or wives will inherit. Wife passes away, the husband will inherit. So that is why we must know all this, because our Islamic inheritance, it touches the lives of everybody, male, female, adult and child. Unborn baby also will inherit, provided that he or she is born alive. So imagine it goes through so far according to Islam. And secondly, whether the person mimma qalla minhu aw kathur, whether you rich, whether you poor, so still you have to be concerned regarding the laws of inheritance. So it is a unique law. The shares of the heirs are ordained, prescribed and mentioned and recorded by Almighty Allah himself. So therefore we must understand, you don't have to become the Ali, the Mufti, the Sheikh, but the basic rules we must understand, and then as we go along, we will give you guidelines and so forth and so on.
Mufti Sahib, the next question is, what is the history of inheritance?
If you study the history of inheritance, you will know that no woman would inherit, no child would inherit. Their system was, you must remember, who inherits? A mayor Kabul Khail. The people who rode the horses or khuyul and participated in warfare, combat, only they entitled. So let's say ABC had a war against XYZ tribe and they were victorious, ABC. So now when the booty came, the spoils of war came, there was nothing for the daughter or for the children or for the wife or anything. Why? Because they did not participate. So Islam came and demolished and abolished this oppressive system. And then Islam brought about the temporary law. Now this is how Islam is evolving. So you must remember in the starting, so in Makkah Mukarramah there was nothing like this. In Madinah Munawwarah, so Mustafa Habibuna sallallahu alaihi wasallam took one muhajir, one ansar, one muhajir, one ansar, and made them brothers so that there could be unity, solidarity and so forth. Thereafter, when the verses got revealed, so that is how the laws of inheritance, the laws of succession were introduced, and that law of Muhajirin and Ansar was abrogated. You don't call this amendments, you call this abrogation. Abrogation means nasakh. You see, if you go to a doctor, sometimes the doctor will increase the dosage. Sometimes the doctor will decrease the dosage according to your body, according to the impact it has on you and so forth. So it is based on wisdom. So Almighty Allah allowed this, that the muhajir, the migrant from Makkah Mukarramah, the ansar, the helper from Madinah Munawwarah, to build solidarity, unity amongst them. So remember that they would inherit and so forth, but that was a temporary measure. Then the laws came. Remember Surah Nisa verses 7 to 14 and so forth and so on. So they all met Allah states in Surah 4, chapter 4, verse 11, Yusrikumullahu fi awladikum, Allah commands you regarding your children and so forth and so on. So therefore we need to be very clear that that was the temporary measure, and now the shares of the heirs, and before that what must happen, all that we will elaborate and explain just now, inshallah.
Mufti Sahib, why does Islam give double to the male compared to the female?
Before I answer that, let me go to another aspect and dimension. What are the virtues of learning this ilmul miras, ilmul mawaris, and which books are the best and so forth and so on to read? So you must remember that we will say what Mustafa sallallahu alaihi wasallam taught us, ta'allamul fara'is, learn the laws of inheritance, wa'allimuha an-nas, and then teach it to the people. فإني مرؤون مقبوس. When I pass away, then you should not be having fights and disputes and so on. Open Mishkat Sharif, Mustada Ahmad and so forth, you will find all these ahadith. Second one, Mustafa sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, أَوَّلُ عِلْمٍ يُنْزَأُ مِنَ الْمِنَ الْمِنْ أُمَّتِي. The first science and discipline to be snatched away from this ummah. You see? So it shows today you have 1,000 ulama, but 900 will not know about it. So remember that. The basics maybe they'll know, but you just go to something more than that, then they'll tell you no, go to somebody else. So we must learn to master it, and Nabi alayhi salam called it فَإِنَّهَا نِصْفُ الْعِلْمِ. So why it's called half the knowledge? Half the knowledge is for us during we are our lifetime, what to do. And the other half, badal maut, badal wafat, after we dead. So it shows how important it is. Therefore, the young ulama especially, I always tell them, Hazrat Mohana Alimia, Hazrat Mohana Abul Hasan Nadwi Nawarallahu Marqadahu, who once came to Karachi, and then he delivered a lecture. So I still remember the advices he gave to our students. He said, first quality, nafi'iyat. Apne andar nafi'iyat paida karo. Become an asset to humanity, society and community. Second one, he said, istighna. That don't go to the rich people and stretch your hand, make collection and thus and all this type of thing. You carry on with your work, devoted, dedicated, then khulus mehe fulus. Allah will put in somebody's heart and people's heart and then they'll start assisting you. So you don't have to go, Allah will make it such. And the third one, he said, become a mutakhassis. This is zamana, this is era and time of specialist. See, somebody is very ill. He won't go to a GP. He will say, no, I must go to an ENT, I must go to this specialist, that specialist, and so forth. So me and you, this is the golden time, it's ripe for the occasion. We won't get the scholars of the past, Imam Abu Hanifa, Imam Shafi, Imam Malik, Imam Ahmad, Ibn Taymiyyah, and all of them, Rahimahullah. So remember that, so we must see what inclination we have. You love tafsir, so study as many tafsir commentaries. You love hadith, so get involved in hadith. You love fiqh, so get involved in fiqh. You love inheritance, get all the books, Arabic, Urdu, English, whatever. So in that way there, al-mawarith fi shariat al-islamiyya, by Honorable Ustad Sheikh Sabuni, excellent rahimahullah. Hazrat Mufti Rashid Ahmad Sahib Ludhianvi of Pakistan, Karachi. So he wrote a book, Qanun Virasat, the laws pertaining to inheritance. So like that, you will find many, many books and so forth that will assist you and help you and so forth. So the point I'm making, we must know the virtue of it also. Because this is one of the first disciplines and sciences and branches of knowledge that will be snatched away from this ummah. And when people are asked questions, then they give upside down answers, and so, as it happens today. So you know, how many times people, they will say, I went here, went there. So I asked them, what was the response? And you will see many a time the answer is incorrect. So therefore, we need to become mutakhassis and specialists in these fields. Allah give us tawfiq.
So Mufti Sahib, the question was, why does Islam give double to the male compared to the female?
Why does Islam give double to the boy, to the son, compared to the daughter? So let's take an example. So in my house, Maulana Zahid's house, that a baby daughter was born. So the baby daughter, you the father, you have to worry about her. Her expenses from the womb, meaning from the time that she is, you know, your wife conceived, fell pregnant, right till the time she gets married. So remember, first 20 years, 25 years, 30 years, whenever she gets married, the onus responsibility is on who? Is on the father, Islamically. Thereafter, she gets married, the onus duty is on who? On the husband. So it shows from the womb to the tomb, from the cradle to the grave. So a lady in Islam is receiving, receiving, receiving. She is not obliged that she must spend on her husband, that she has to spend on the children, all that, she doesn't have to. So subhanallah, she receives, receives, and she doesn't have to spend. So you see. And now you take the son. So now the son is the responsibility of the father till the age of 15, 16, 17. After that is not responsibility. I left South Africa and went to go study in Pakistan. It was not compulsory upon my parents, my father, anybody, that they had to send me there, pay for all the flights and all the boarding, lodging, all that. So that's not going. They did me ihsan, tabarru. He did me a favor. So you must remember, I should be standing on my own feet. That is what Islam is saying. And I should now. Then I have to get married. Then I have to look after my wife, pay for all her expenses. Then children come after 1, 2, 3, 5 years. So again, I am responsible. So when you just juxtapose and compare the two, the son and the daughter is receiving all the time. And the son is spending all the time. So when it came to inheritance, Islam said that the boy, the son, will inherit double and the daughter will inherit single. This is in most cases, not all cases, as we'll explain to you just now, inshallah. But that is Islam. So it is not based on chauvinistic reasons. Chauvinism, as the West wants the people to believe, Islam is showing preference or favoring the men and so forth, and is treating the women very, very badly, inferior and so forth. Just on that point, if you look at the demographics and you look at statistics, you will know majority of the people who embrace Islam are female compared to male. They say, the West, the Orientalists, Islam suppresses the rights of the women and oppresses them and so forth and so on. But when we look at the survey and the demographics and everything else and break it up, then you will see majority of the time, whether it be in Australia, whether it be in America, Europe, wherever, Africa, it is ladies who are embracing Islam. So it shows that there is that justice system. So that is why the woman will get single, she doesn't have to spend anything basically, and the man will get double because remember he has to keep on spending and so forth. Another important lesson regarding this, there's a ratio 2-to-1, so you must remember, will only become effective post-death, after the death of the person. See, there's one fatwa going around circulating, I see it's gone viral. So several people sent it to me. I told them we don't agree with that. We reject it totally. The fatwa is this. Understood? This is ABC person. He's a man of substance. So now he's got 30 million, 50 million, 100 million cash or assets or whatever. So now he knows he's 70, 75 years old, whatever. So one day he's going to die. So he says, I want to take out an insurance policy. Not to benefit for me, it's not a life insurance, it is stipulated. But when I die, so that insurance will take care of the estate duty and all the taxes and so forth and so on. So I said, no, there's no need for that. You are a man with 100 million, 50 million, 40 million, whatever the case might be. And now you have to pay their duties and taxes and whatever else is called. So I'm posing this alternative to you and giving you, just about 2 weeks ago, one Baji phone from Johannesburg, and I happened to be there at the home and he had a lengthy chat. So he wanted to do the same thing. I didn't know him. So I asked him, Baji, if I give you an alternative, then what? He said, okay. I said, let's say you were 30, 40, 50 million, right? So why don't you give 1, 2 million, 5 million to your wife? Why don't you give your 2 sons, 3 sons, another 3 million, 4 million, all? Then you give your daughters also. So the point I'm making, during your lifetime, when you give and you distribute, so you must give equally. That is the hadith of Mustafa sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Wa'adilu bayna awladikum. Wattaqullah wa'adilu bayna awladikum. Fear Almighty Allah and exercise justice. So ratio 2:1 is post-death. But before that, remember, if I am the father, I have a son, daughter, I give 100 then, so I should give 100 then there also. So there, unless the circumstances are different, then it's obviously the easy example I give, the one daughter is married to the big shot doctor, professor, and whatever you. The other one is married to the Maulana. So obviously, you know, the wages and all that salary of the Maulana will be much less and lower compared to the doctor normally. So in a case like that, what will happen? I, as the father, I want to give that daughter of mine more, not based on favoritism, but based on need and circumstances, so all that would be permissible. So we're coming back to that issue about estate duty and so forth. So now the threshold is, for example, if you got 10 million, then they won't. I'm just giving you a certain amount. So as example, so 10 million, then it is tax-free. So why don't you bring down your personal assets to that amount, and the rest, mashallah, you already gave it with your own hand in your hayati, in your lifetime, to your wife, to your children, to your parents, to your siblings, whoever you want to give, and so forth and so on. And thereafter, that when you pass away, as I'll explain just now, then the children and the heirs, they will inherit. So there's nothing to do with estate duty. Now, I asked him, that Baji, 3 children, 5 children, something like that. I asked him, buddy, be honest now. Which option is better? They said the option you gave 100% is better. So why must we go into the haram things? Quran Kareem teaches us Surah 65 verses 2 and 3. وَمَنْ يَتَّقِ اللَّهَ يَجْعَلْ لَهُ مَخْرَجًا. Whosoever has taqwa through piety, Allah consciousness, then Allah will make a way out for him, an escape route, an exit route. Then people think they will lose money. Almighty Allah says, never ever. وَيَرْزُقْهُ مِنْ حَيْثُ لَا يَحْتَسِبْ. Allah will give you sustenance from such avenues and places you never ever thought about or imagined in your lifetime.
Mufti Sahib, the next question is, if death happens or takes place, then what happens next?
So remember, every Muslim must know this. Male, female, adult and child also. By child, I mean you're 7, 8, 9, 10 years old, you're going to school, you're going to madrasa, you can make imtiaz, you can distinguish between male and female, between right and wrong, day and night. So everyone should know, because we don't know where people will die and pass away. وَمَا تَدْرِي نَفْسُمْ بِأَيِّ أَرْضٍ تَمُوتْ. So the time is unknown, the place is unknown, but we beg, we petition, we beseech Allah for death on Iman, and to make that the best day in our life. And Allah Ta'ala Iman kisat utawi, Allah takes us with Iman and Islam. Tawaffani muslima wa alhiqni bisalihin. So remember that we beg Allah with the dua of Nabi Yusuf alayhi salam. Ya Allah, let me pass away with Islam, with Iman, and unite me with the pious devout servants. So that is chapter 12 Surah Yusuf verse 101. So that is minimum we should be doing. Now, ABC passed away, right? So the first thing we must do, and this is over 90%, 80% of the time neglected. In his house, that deceased person's house, mayit or mayita, that is the male or female, they have certain amanats. They have certain things which belong to other people. So all that must be returned immediately to the rightful owners. Now be honest, how many Muslims do that? They will make talmatol, talmatol is Urdu. They will delay, tayakare, asanari gannas, onsar rehmak and all. I gave you in 4 or 5 languages there, I think. So remember that that is totally unacceptable. So once a person's eyes closes, he passed away. You the family, you the executor, that is your function. You know that this watch is not yours. You know that money is not yours. You know that jewelry is not yours. animals. So immediately it must go to the rightful owner. إِنَّ اللَّهَ يَأْمُرُكُمْ أَن تُؤَدُّ الْأَمَانَاتِ إِلَىٰ أَهْلِهَا. So verily Almighty Allah is commanding you that you return the amanat and the trust to the rightful owners. So everything you will find in the noble Quran, and that is the beauty of our deen. Therefore it's called deen, and I explained this to you in detail already. Deen means justice, remember that. So the justful thing to do, the right thing to do, enshrined in the noble Quran, Surah 4, Surah Nisa, verse number 58. Surah 4, verse 58. And if you only know where this ayat got revealed. Do you know where the ayat got revealed? This ayat got revealed fi jawfil Kaaba al-Musharrafa. This ayat got revealed right inside the Kaaba Musharrafa. The Sahaba took the keys away from the Sa'din. Sin Alif Dal Noon. Allah says, return it. Give it back to him. So they gave it to the Banu Shaybah family. Not only returned it, Mustafa sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, Khalidatan talidatan, it will stay with you forever and ever and ever. In the 8th year of the Hijrah, that is during Ramadan, and today we are in 1443, less than 3 months now, 2.5 months approximately. So will be Ramadan Mubarak 1443. So you work out, you must remember 8 year and year 40. So 1435 years plus minus, remember the key is still in that khandan, in that family's possession. So that is Islam. When he saw that, he said, this is Islam, I'm Muslim straight away. So they embrace Islam. So we must learn these qualities here. Surah 4, verse 58. So what is one first step? That a raddul amanati la ahdiya. Ahdiha, take the trust we have. Things that don't belong to us. Because what will happen, if everybody remains silent, people will start including that into the estate. And it doesn't belong to the deceased. It belongs to ABC, XYZ person. So see how careful we have to be. So that's one. Two will be tajheez takfeen. So now you have to organize who's going to bathe the deceased, give ghusl, the kafan, the shrouding, all that. Then you must remember the hearse, and you have to go to the graveyard, read the salatul janaza and the funeral prayer. So all this costs money. It's not free of charge. The hearse don't go on zamzam and all that, you know. So it costs money, all this. So money, ma'am, it will cost you 4, 5, 10,000 rand, depending where you are. Because one grave can cost you 5,000, 10,000, 20,000 in the big centers. So from now, we must start preparing. I know of people in my family. One side, they already kept the money. They say Raza Qaza. That's our term we use. Raza Qaza takes place. We pass away. So don't look at anybody's face. Yes, the money here. And you sort all everything out regarding my funeral, my burial, my expenses, everything. So number one, we return the trust to the rightful owners. Number two, that the funeral expenses, everything. That is the law. But after that, I'm the son, I'm the nephew, I'm this, I'm that, you the daughter, you the husband, you the father, you the brother. You say, no. Leave from the estate, I will pay for it. Or we the sons will pay for it. Or we the daughters will pay for it. So all that would be acceptable. However, when you say you're going to pay, then payment must be done immediately. Not on some rechmak and others and all this kind of stuff. So we'll fix up. And no. All that not acceptable. Immediately the payment must be done. So how many steps we got now? Two. Third one is, and yeah, we make a big mix-up. You must remember, Ada'ud Duyun, the debts of the deceased must be paid. People are so emotional that time. Father died, mother died, the son died, and 17, 20 years old. Okay, now we want to build the well, we want to give out charity, we want to do this. But all that is wrong. It's like reading Nafil Salat, and you forgot your first Salat. You're not reading your first Salat. That's the exact example of it. So we must understand what the Quran is teaching us. لِيَتَفَقَّهُ فِي الدِّينِ. You must get profound, deep understanding of deen. Hadith in Bukhari Sharif, مَنْ يُرِدِ اللَّهُ بِهِ خَيْرًا يُفَقِّهُ فِي الدِّينِ. When you have, remember, Allah loves you and wants goodness for you, Allah will give you the deep, profound understanding of deen. Amanat, and then burial, funeral expenses, and then third one will be the death of the deceased. Why is it important to settle? Habibuna sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, Nafsul mu'mini mu'allakatun biduyunihi hatta tuqzanu. My father, my brother, my mother, my family, your family, anybody's family, nobody enters Jannah and paradise until and unless all the debts are settled. This hadith is sahih, authentic hadith in Musnad Ahmad and so forth. So therefore, now, there's difference of opinion. Hanafis say, only Hanafis. Hanafis say, when we speak of debts, it refers to debts of human being. You owe Tom, Dick and Harry, Tom, Dick and Mary, all that, remember? So that must be paid. Full amount must be paid. If that creditor, on their own, without being pressurized, they say, okay, man, give half, or I forgive you, and so forth, willingly, without us putting pressure, so then it is forgiven, or you pay half or whatever you agreed on. So remember, so the debts of deceased must be paid, whether it's personal debts, whether it's business debts, corporate debts, all. Today you tell people you must start paying, you say no, we'll pay after 40 days. It's all haram debt. Justice delayed is justice denied. So remember, Islam taught us this. I give you the hadith. You must remember that Mustafa sallallahu alaihi wasallam's hadith mentioned in Mishkat Sharif. So, matalul ghaniyyi zulmun. That's the words. Matalul ghaniyyi zulmun. That when you delayed the payment of the debts, you became a zalim and oppressor. And that is your function, Mr. Executor, that you had to oversee everything must be done in accordance with the Sharia. Not just do that because you also benefiting. So the debts of the deceased, personal or corporate business debts, all must be paid. Partnerships, everything finished then. The person died, that partnership is finished. You can't say, no, we're still carrying on. The man died or the lady died. What are you talking about? You want to start again, then you start all over again. So his share, her share must come to the estate proportionately, and then you start working what I'm telling you. Imam Shafi, Imam Ahmad bin Hanbal, Imam Malik, and them say, no. Taynullah ya haqqu wa awfa. Whether the person stipulated it or not, listen carefully to my statement. Whether the person wrote it down, mentioned it, there's witnesses, no witnesses, it refers to all duyun, all debts. What we mean by all debts? The debts of creation, Muslim, non-Muslim. Today people say, yeah, but he's owing a jutla, he's owing a Jew, so it's all right. It's not all right. You have to settle it, whether it's Muslim or non-Muslim. That's our religion of Islam. So they say, Shafi's, Maliki's, Ambali's and them, that even the outstanding debts of Almighty Allah must be paid, whether it is stipulated in the will or not. Let's take 2-3 examples. Somebody's father, mother passed away 5-10 years, they didn't pay zakat. So that zakat must be paid from there. Understand that. Whether wasiyat was made or not. Number 2. Kafara. People take oaths and violate it and break it and so forth. So that must be paid from there. Sadaqatul fitr, fitra. People just take all this lightly. So that's how compulsory it is. So just see these examples I gave. So all this will be compulsory. You take that out from the estate and then you give it to poor Muslims only who are entitled to receive zakat. So that is the verdict of Shafi's, Maliki's, Hanbali's. And when nasu ana ghafilun, but you take the ummah today, majority don't even, never heard this kind of maslas in their life. So therefore I said, we must teach the people, educate them, learn it, and so forth. And best is stay away from debts. Remember that. Then next one we come to is wasiyah. Wasiyah, Allah is giving us a chance. Do some good deed before you pass away. Mustafa sallallahu alaihi wasallam told Sa'd ibn Abi Waqas, he said, I give all my wealth in the path of Allah. I'm so wealthy, I don't need. Nabi alayhi salam said, no. He said, one nis. Nabi alayhi salam said, no, half. He said, was thuluth. He said, one third. Nabi alayhi salam said, okay, one third is all right, but was thuluth kathir. That also is too much, but anyway, we'll allow it. So from there we learn wasiyah can be, must be made for non-heirs, not heirs. So wasiyah to bequeath is for non-heirs. For example, adopted son, adopted children, or your neighbor, non-Muslim neighbor, so also is fine. Or for example, any person who help you out a lot in life, or you give to a person, or you give to an institution, there's a madrasa, there's a darulum, and they're doing good work, or some other organization, they're doing some good. So now you say 5,000, 10,000, you read Salat in one masjid, 20, 50, 70 years. So you say that I use so much water, so much soap, so many facilities, so let me give them something. So that you call wasiyah. So you bequeath up to one third maximum from the net estate, what is left. So first the amanat, what you trust. Then number two, burial, funeral expenses. Number three, the debts of the deceased. Debts of the deceased, all agree. It is human personal debts and business debts. But Hanafis stop there. Shafis, Hanbalis, Malikis go on. It includes the debts of Allah, Jalla wa Ala. The person, Hajj was compulsory, never made Hajj. So take the money out from there, and then you have to send somebody for Hajj. That they are going to Shafis in them. And then the next one will be wasiyah. Then last comes the shares of the heirs. I saw with my own eyes. You must remember the father's body is lying there. I don't think it even, you understand, got properly cold also. So you must remember, but the sons, two, three sons are already eyeing the Porsche, the Ferrari, and the Maserati, and that and that. So you can see that who is going to get what. Father is secondary. Yen mansa duat is ana mansa bruat. You see. So it's how we brought up our children also. So therefore, it's of paramount importance that we understand these issues properly, and this business of depriving, disowning, and so forth. I'll just mention this verse, and then we'll go for a break, inshallah. Whenever he, the testator, the person who drew up the will, or the executor, the person who's supposed to oversee that everything goes according to Sharia, or the heirs, any one of them or all of them, they colluded, they worked in cahoots with one another, and they cooked up somebody's shares, they increased it, they decreased somebody's share, they disowned somebody's share, he's a druggy, he's this, he's that. So Almighty Allah says, for Surah 4, Surah Nisa, verse 13, you do things correctly, وَذَٰلِكَ الْفَوْزُ الْعَظِيمُ, that is the supreme success. And Surah chapter 4, Surah Nisa, verse 14, وَمَنْ يَعْصِ اللَّهَ وَرَسُولَهُ وَيَتَعَدَّ حُدُودَهُ, you go against the laws of Almighty Allah, you disobey Allah, you disobey Mustafa, Habibuna, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and you go beyond the boundaries, parameters, limits, you increase somebody's share, you decrease it, or you disown that person. For Muslims, this verse is, يُدْخِلْهُ نَارًا خَالِدًا فِيهَا, Allah dispatches that person to Jahannam and the hellfire for very, very, very long time. Allah mahfadna min, Allah protect us. وَلَهُ عَذَابٌ مُهِينٌ, for such a person, there will be a humiliating, disgraceful punishment. So therefore, O Muslim, O Muslimah, is imperative upon us now, this week, weekend that get everything sorted out. Yabi to laylatain illa wa wasiyatuhu maktubatun indahu. Habibuna Mustafa sallallahu alaihi wasallam, hadith Bukhari Sharif, Abu Dawood, Mishkat, various compilations. Oh Muslim, Muslima, you should not allow two nights to pass, but your will should be written already. Imagine where we are and what Islam is teaching.
Alhamdulillah, we'll take a break now. Inshallah, we'll continue after the break.
Marcus Sahaba Online Radio, empowering the Ummah. Marcus Sahaba Online Radio, empowering the Ummah.
Alhamdulillah, we return back to this program, the series regarding inheritance, and today is part one. Muftisab, the next question is, what are the implications, or rather, what is firstly the importance of having a will?
Remember to have a will. Not only a will, to have a true, proper Islamic will. That is wajib and compulsory upon every Muslim, whether you are in South Africa, Africa, Arab countries, Muslim countries, Australia, Europe, America. It's wajib and compulsory. Male, female, adult and children, remember. Because Quran has made it compulsory. So remember, that's first law. Let's start with the South African context so that we can explain to you something. You see, in the South African context, the matrimonial regimes, you have different. Now, these are all big, big words. You'll understand if you sit with a lawyer, then they speak, then people don't even know what he's speaking. When the bill comes, then they get a bigger shock also. So anyway, we're giving you free advice. You'll understand, I always tell people, ours is all free. So they make big jazakallah khairan, and it's gone. So it's fine, alhamdulillah. We are rewarded by Allah, with Allah's mercy. So the point I'm making here is this. So one is, this couple got married, right? So when they got married, so there's the nikah. Now the civil marriage, they want to register because our marriages are not recognized still by government and so forth. So they went and they registered COP. What COP means? Community of property. So what is mine, and what is yours, and we share everything 50-50. So what it means, if I incur debts, so she's also responsible. She goes with a credit card and best starts swiping this, that, you know, sometimes. Then I'm also responsible. So what is mine is hers, what is hers is mine. And remember, we will share everything, the assets and liabilities. So now what's going to happen? So that is haram in Islam. So therefore, now the couple will say, fine. We got married 15, 20, 30 years ago. Nobody explained all this to us. Now what must we do? Now here, you got two, three options. One is you make a joint will. So you have one will for both parties. But there's a loophole left in that. The husband died. And the wife and husband agreed that when the husband passes away, she will inherit 12.5%. But after the husband passed away, the whispering started. You know whisperings? You whisper fi sudurin nas. Hey, but why the hell must I take 12.5%? According to South African law, I can get 50% plus I get my share also. So 50% is her share because by virtue of community of property. And the second half that will be divided, she will inherit from there with the children. You see, so what you call that? Whisperings of shaitan. Ayyuwaswisu. The small voice comes. So therefore, that loophole remains. Remember that. So that can only work if the parties got taqwa too. So we must be careful. Second one, well, way you can make it work is for real. If husband, wife say fine. That we are partners in everything. And they trust one another. So if the wife incurs a debt, so the husband says fine. Husband incurs debt, so wife says fine. So they go ahead, they say it's fine. So, but that is very rare. So therefore, that also we don't really encourage. Third one will be, this is the most important one. that you will have to go to an attorney, advocate, and big shot lawyer, and they don't come cheap, you know. And you will have to get divorced and then re-registered. And when you re-register, then you will have to re-register ANC. ANC, not these politicians and them. So first of all, now you worried but divorced. So you don't have to give the divorce, the husband, the wife gives the divorce, so it's fine. And even if the husband gives the divorce, it's fine. It will not impact on your nikah. It was just finishing up your civil marriage. So understand this here. But just for your mind and peace of mind, we say let the wife give the divorce. Then you remarry. And when you remarry, then you have ANC, anti-nuptial contract, without excluding the accrual system, which means that what is mine, what is the wife's. There's no such thing as I'm responsible for her debts and her thing. She inherited from her father, her mother, it belongs only to her. It don't belong to me. So that is how it will work. So what you're going to say? ANC, anti-nuptial contract, without excluding the accrual system. So you have another matrimonial regime, and that will be that you will say ANC, including with the matrimonial, with the, you understand, this thing, what the word I use now? Accrual. So with the accrual system, so that also don't work in Islam. So it must be ANC, excluding without the accrual system. So what is the benefit of that? The benefit of that is when you draw up your will and your last testament, so that will be legal and acceptable, and no one can contest the will. That's the benefit of it. Come to our Muslim countries, Arab countries, nowhere in the world today we have an Islamic country. We have Muslim countries. So therefore, even there, you must remember, we say it's wajib, compulsory for you to draw up your will. Because every Muslim country, Arab country, has certain clauses. If you go and study it properly and thoroughly, you will find some of the clauses go against Islam. You understood? Like, I give you an easy example. Let's say I had three sons, right? So my one son passed away during my lifetime. So now I'm left with two sons and two daughters. So some Arab countries, some Muslim countries, they say now that I, the dada, I'm the big shot, right? So I'm the grandfather for the hafid, for the pota, for the grandsons, grandchildren and all that from my son who predeceased me. So according to some Muslim countries, you must leave something for them. So whether it's 20%, 25% or 1/3, they impose it upon you by law, which is un-Islamic. Islamically, it is your prerogative whether you want to give them or not, but you cannot impose it. But they impose it today. So they say, no, fee al-maslaha, fee al-khay. So it's better for them and us and all. But the fact remains, you had no right and jurisdiction to impose it. But they do so. So you must, therefore, we need to be very careful. So that is one side of the coin. Second side of the coin, these are words we all must learn. If a person dies without a will, then that person died intestate. I-N-T-E-S-T-A-T-E. So when you die intestate, then you, male, female, you have died committing a major, major, major sin. So what a major sin it is? Because now the matter will go to the government. So non-Muslim government like us, or it goes to Muslim government, majority of them, their constitution, Arab countries constitution, majority of the time anti-Islamic, against Islam. So the shares of the heirs, it will be according to their law, according to their man-made law, the law of the land, as they would say. So now imagine you are in your grave and you'll be turning in your grave. Why you'll be turning? Because it was wajib upon you that you had to ensure that first the amanat, the trust must be given to the rightful owners, and the funeral, burial expenses, there were sufficient funds. Then the debts of the deceased had to be paid, the personal, corporate, business debts. Wasiya, if you made for non-heirs, so all that should be fulfilled, maximum 1/3. And the fourth one is the shares of the heirs. So they will never say that is one son, one daughter, that 2/3 must go to the son and 1/3 to the daughter. They will never say that. But you will be held guilty. Why didn't you prepare your will when we told you so many a time and warned you also? You see, now you call this repercussions. Those are the unintended consequences. These are the things that now you're going to face at your peril. You do so. So remember, it's a major sin. So you, my mothers and sisters, you living khabe ghaflat me, totally in your own world, busy with your TikTok and Hollywood, Bollywood, Robin Hood and so forth. Say, yeah, yeah, taya kare, and my husband will sort it out. No husband sort it out. You must see it in black and white. So you must remember, just now when your husband die, another wife come. Say, who are you? He say, I'm the number 2 wife. Dance all the proper dance, you know. Then it's big trouble. The 2 wives are fighting now. So all this you need to sort out now during your lifetime. And you ladies, you must have your own will as well. And don't just rely on your husband. No, I sorted it out. Sorted it out. Show me. We want to see. So that is where all the trouble starts. People invite us. See, I give you easy example. People invite us to their houses. So sometimes it's like a friend or this. I ask him, these curtains, who it belongs to? These carpets, who it belongs to? This microwave, who it belongs to? Then you look at, so every item in the house must have an owner. They just smile and laugh, but we don't know who the owner is. You see? So best thing, you tell your popi, you tell your darling, you tell your sweetheart, oh popi, oh darling, this is all yours, finish and clear. Then you know that she's the owner. That is just a suggestion. It's not a must. But in that way, but you tell her, like if you like me, you got 1,000 books, you say all the books are mine, but everything else is yours. You understand? And this type of things. So I'm just giving you an example. So you must ensure that our world is in place. And if a person passes, and today you see the ulama, jazahumullahu khaira. So Jamiat Ulama, KwaZulu Natal, Majlis, and other ulama also, they got too many. So some banks also, they, you know, everybody wants to get in somewhere, make a buck also. So they will tell you they got a ready-made will. And it's Sharia compliant. That's another term. I don't like that term at all. Because once you speak of Sharia compliant, then there's a body there. There's some people you have to pay them, you know. So this type of things there. So anyway, so if you can get the ready-made will also, and then you just go through it and so forth, then you sign it and so. But you must go through it properly. Show it to the ulama who understand inheritance. Show it to your lawyers and legal eagles. So why? You have to show it to the ulama to see that everybody is getting their proper share. And the executor also must be there. The executor today, half the time, they're more interested what is their share. So you must remember that, because he wants to charge you 1%, 2%, 3%, 5%, 10%. You get all these ideas. Not everybody works like us free of charge. So you must remember, they're going to charge you, many of them. Then next one you must remember is this, that then you show the lawyer, the big shot advocate and attorney. It must not be going against the law of the land. Because sometimes we saw that people remember that they pass away, then one of the heirs, they contest the world, now everything has to go to court. Now imagine all the dirty linen warp that comes there in the media and so forth. One last point before I finish up. All of you who embrace Islam, whether in Australia or whether in Italy or whether in Hammanskraal or wherever South Africa. It's wajib, compulsory upon you. You must write a note and an affidavit that upon my death, Abdullah, Amatullah, Umar Farooq, Abu Bakr, Fatima, Zainab, whatever Aisha, that I must be buried according to the Islamic laws of burial. That's compulsory because I saw myself that ghusl was given to the deceased, kafan was given to the deceased, they buried the deceased, they shrouded the deceased, but a non-Muslim family came and said, now it doesn't belong to you, it belongs to us. They took the Muslim and they cremated them. So cremating all that is haram, we know that. So therefore, a very important dimension and aspect which many a time is overlooked, and that is that our Muslims, new brothers, sisters who embrace Islam, the reverts, call whatever you want, that is why. Therefore, I say every masjid, every jamaat, you should have ready-made forms that when somebody in your area embraces Islam, then he signs it, you go there with the police, you get it certified, and the commissioner of oaths or whatever, and then you, the jamaat, you keep one copy, then he keeps one copy, his family keeps, and they can give one to the lawyer or whoever. So in that way, you know, death is inevitable. So after his death, then there's no argument, there's no problems and so forth. So my last message to you, where there's a will, there's a way. So make sure that this week here, we do something positive, and instead of wasting time with the TV and TikTok and shaitanic activities, let's sort out all these matters and affairs, and inshallah next week we'll go on further step by step, so to make life easy for all of us. May Almighty Allah make our khatima ending on iman and prepare our world according to the laws of Islam. Okay, 12 o'clock will be the news with Brother Yusuf Ali, and thereafter Mona Elias Patel, importance of Dini advice. 1 o'clock the Zohar Azan, 1:05 to 1:30 trip to Northern Hotel, very interesting, to Denhauser, Dundee and Newcastle. And then 1:30 to 2 Surah Bani Israel chapter 17 verses 73 to 77, 2 to 3 current affairs with Brother Yusuf Ali, 3 to 3:30, 3:35, 3:40 also, it is quite long today, so the repeat of the Q&A of this morning, 3:35, 3:40 Surah Kafirun, Kulyar Kafirun. So this is in Urdu with Mufti Ahmad Ganpuri, Hafizahullah. 4 to 5 Surah Ahzab, chapter 33, Maulana Ridwan Kaji. 5 to 7 will be Maulana Khalid Yaqub. And then that will be 5 to 7. Then 7 to 7:30 will be our translation of last week's khutbah and so forth. And 7:30 to 8 will be Maulana Yunus Patel, Rahimahullah's advices. 8 to 10 will be discussion with Maulana Arafat and Maulana Salim Karim, inshallah. 10 to 11 will be the lecture by Sheikh Anwar Al-Awlaki, Al-Shaheed. Jazakallah khair. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah.